Hello. Welcome to Henderson First, Wednesday midweek service. Tonight, Pastor Kevin continues in the series in the book of Joshua, Possessing Your Promise Part 3. The book of Joshua is a powerful journey of faith, courage, and divine fulfillment. God has spoken over your life. The time of wandering is over. It's your season to rise, to take ground, and to own the promise. Let's listen.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Joshua. We've been talking, we're looking at the book of Joshua right now. And what we're going to talk about tonight is facing new challenges can be stressful, right? When you're facing something you've never faced before, it can be stressful. And I wrote some challenges down that many of us go through. Like my wife and I are now facing aging parents. And so you get to a place in your life and Kathy's mom has dementia. And that's new for us, right? And the place Kathy's mom's at called today and says she's out of everything. Now, Kathy just went last week and stocked up on everything, but it all disappeared. And so shampoo and all the stuff that she needs was gone. Either she drank it or somebody borrowed it. We don't know what happened to all that stuff. But you just never know, you know? And so aging. We've got some here tonight, having a newborn, right? And so even if it's your first or your second or your third, when you bring a baby home, it changes the world, right? And doing that thing, and you're facing a new challenge. A new job or a career, you know. Hannah will be facing a new challenge. She's going to a new place, new people. There's stress to that, right? How about new relationships? You enter into a relationship and is this the right person, not the right person? Getting to know somebody, that can be a new challenge. How about when you have a health issue and you get a bad doctor's report and all of a sudden you're facing a challenge that you've never faced before? I think the worst one can be is something totally unexpected. Have you ever been that? Like life is going on and then suddenly, boom, you're facing something you never thought you would face. You're not prepared for it. You're not emotionally prepared for it, spiritually or mentally. And the next thing you know, you're dealing with, I think about the people in London, Kentucky right now. I'm friends with our Assembly of God pastor there. In a moment, people's life changed, right? And homeless and all the things. And you say, well, they have insurance. But can you imagine the stress of getting your claims and getting that in and getting, and where do you live in the meantime? You think of all the things that those people are having. That was not planned. It was not something they ever saw coming. And then in a moment, they're facing something unexpected. Well, tonight we're going to look at Joshua 3, and Israel faced a new challenge. So Israel, you remember, they delivered out of Egypt, but then they rebelled against God. And for 40 years, they wandered in the desert. And then at the end of that 40 years, Moses, their leader, died. And now in Joshua chapter 3, Israel's crossing the Jordan River and going to the promised land for the first time ever as a nation. And they've got a brand new leader named Joshua. So here's Israel. They're getting ready to do something they've never done before with a leader that's never led them before. And can you imagine the anticipation and the stress that that causes, right? And I think there's some lessons in Joshua 3 that empowers us when we face new challenges or we face something maybe that we didn't expect. So let's look at it together. Joshua chapter 3, let's start with reading verse 1. It says, then Joshua rose early in the morning and they set out for Achaia Grove and came to the Jordan. Now my wife and I, we've had the privilege of actually being at the Jordan River. We were actually at the place where Jesus was baptized. We got to see the baptism site of Jordan. When we were there, it was not harvest season, so the Jordan River is a big mud hole, basically. It wasn't all that impressive, all that big. This was harvest season, and Jordan is one of the driest countries of the world. My wife and I lived there for a year, and they give you so much water per week. And when you run out of water that week, you don't have more water until whatever your day of delivery is. Now, for Kathy and I, just being two of us, that wasn't all that bad. But we had families there that had three or four kids, and they would measure their water every day. Like, they could take a shower so long, cook so much water, because if that water ran out, they weren't getting more water. Like, if it's delivery, they'd do it in the middle of the night. In the middle of the night, they'd bring in these water trucks, and they had water tanks on top of the roofs. And one night a week, you know, every Tuesday they put water in your tank. But again, so your apartment had a certain amount of water, and when that water was gone, you didn't get more water till the Tuesday. And so large families, which Muslims tend to have very large families, they really watched how much water, like that was a big deal. One time of the season, harvest, Jordan just gets torrential rains. And this was a time when Israel was trying to cross the Jordan. So the Jordan was uncrossable. And this was, you know, before boats. There was no way a million people were going to cross the Jordan. Very similar to, remember when Moses left Egypt and they had to cross the Red Sea. There's a reason for this. So they came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of your Lord your God and the priests and the Levites hearing it, then you shall set forth from your place and go after it. You shall there be a space between you about 2,000 cubits of measure. That's about 1,000 yards. And do not come near it. You may know by which you must go. Look at this. For you have not passed this way before. So a new challenge. They've never passed this way before. So again, in life, there are times you will face something that you've never had to face before. The first point I want to talk about is when you face a new challenge, learn to wait on God. God was very specific. We're going to see here how the children of Israel were going to cross the Jordan. And Joshua, as a leader, he got his instructions on how to cross the Jordan, not from a planning session, but he heard from God. And I think it's important sometimes when we're facing stressful, challenging seasons in our life, don't allow the worry to draw you away from God, but allow it to draw you towards God. And Joshua was a great leader during this time because he waited till he heard from God before he gave instructions to the Israelites of what to do. And what you're going to see here was the key to passing the Jordan, crossing the Jordan River, was the Ark of the Covenant. Now, you know, the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. Today, the Holy Spirit dwells in each of us. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. But in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would dwell in one place at one time. And that was in the Ark of the Covenant that eventually came in the temple. And that was the dwelling place of God. You'll see in the Old Testament the Holy Spirit coming upon people, but you don't see the phrase the Holy Spirit dwelt in people. That was part of the new covenant and one of the benefits of salvation. What makes us different than Old Testament saints is that we don't go to a temple or to a place to experience the presence of God. When you get saved, the presence of God resides in you. And wherever you go, at any time and any place, you can experience God at that time and that place because you are dwelt by the Holy Spirit, by God. But during the Old Testament, it wasn't that way. Now, this is pre-salvation, right? They lived by the law. And so God said, when you cross the Jordan, the priests were going to carry the Ark of the Covenant to the edge of the Jordan River. It was the presence of God that made a way for Israel to cross from being slaves into being into the promised land. From wandering for 40 years, that basically traveled in a circle for 40 years. They literally did the same thing over and over again to go. You know what? I still believe that's key today, that it's the presence of God that will empower you to face a new challenge. It's the presence of God that will give you wisdom on what to do. So, you know, think about it. If you've got to make a medical decision, I don't know about you, but usually it's the worst time in the world to make it. You've got all the stuff coming on you, like you realize you need to make a medical decision. I'm not a doctor. I don't know what to do. You know what I mean? I mean, you're like, what do I do? I don't know medical stuff. It's the worst time to make that decision, right? There's no warning. You just got to do something. But how many know that the Holy Spirit's an all-knowing God that can give you wisdom in that moment of what to do? But you've got to spend time in his presence. So when facing a new challenge, dig into the presence of God. Let's keep on reading. Joshua chapter 3, verse 5 through 6. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. Second thing that I think is important when you face a new challenge from here is make sure your heart's right with God. We don't use that word sanctify a whole lot. That's a religious word nowadays. It's more common back then. The word sanctified means to be set apart. To set apart as being special or set apart as being holy. So like my wife has some towels in our house I'm not allowed to use. The only people allowed to use those towels are guests, right? They are guest towels. If I use those towels, I get in trouble. Those towels are special. They're set apart. Only guests can use those towels, right? So those towels are sanctified. Does that make sense? They're set apart for a special use. Joshua told the people of Israel, sanctify yourself for God. In other words, separate yourself from the things of the world and the things that contaminate you and dedicate yourself to God. You're getting ready to face a new challenge. We're getting ready to have an impossible task here to cross the Jordan River during the rainy season. And he's like, you need to make sure that you're ready to do this. And sometimes when we face a new challenge, it draws us closer to God, and God will use those circumstances to cause us to separate ourselves from things and to dedicate ourselves to God. And that's what it means to be sanctified. Those towels are not hanging in my bathroom right now, right? I don't know where Kathy hides them, but there are somewhere in that house. There are some sanctified towels that she only gets out when we had, like when Omar and Pat Byler, when they came in town, they stayed at her house. These towels just showed up, right? They just came out of nowhere. And that was Omar and Pat's towel. She laid them on her bed all nice and neat when they stayed at her house. I'm like, when did we get those towels? I didn't even know we had them. I'm like, I've never seen those towels before on that kind of thing. So God wants you to do that for him. That if there's things in our lives that disgrace God or contaminate us spiritually, many times it's when we face a new challenge, it motivates us to separate from that. Separation, sanctification, separation, and dedication. We separate ourselves from things that contaminate us, and we dedicate ourselves for God's purpose. I'm going to read a little bit longer here. I love this story. It's just an amazing. Look at this. So the priest took up the Ark of the Covenant, verse 6, and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this is so good. This day I'll begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel. Remember that, so we're going to come back to it. That they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. So God's comforting Joshua. Again, not only are they facing a new challenge, they got a new leader. So Joshua's going, look, I'm going to do something so great that all of Israel's going to know, just like I was with Moses, I'm with you. And you shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. I tell you, when you get a word from the Lord, you can face a new challenge. Joshua now, as the leader of Israel, has got some boldness and some confidence, does he? Where did that boldness and confidence come? It wasn't in his own ability to lead the people across the Jordan. Because the fact of it is, Joshua didn't have the ability to lead the people across the Jordan. Where did Joshua's courage come from? Because he had a word from the Lord. God had told him exactly what to do. So he was able to go in front of all the people and say, hey, look, this is what we're going to do. So Joshua says, by this you shall know the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, and the Gergesites, and all the other sites, or Amorites and Jebusites, right? Now, what's happening there? Joshua's saying, again, this is what... See, facing new challenges isn't always bad. Many times facing a new challenge will bring you to breakthrough. Joshua's saying, when you cross the Jordan River, it's going to build faith in you that God's going to defeat all those enemies in the promised land. This miracle is going to be so great that when you face the giants, when you face your enemies in the promised land, you're going to have faith that God's going to give you victory because God helped you cross the Jordan River. And many times when you face a new challenge, whether that be a life circumstance, whether that be a health issue, whatever, when you see God's miracle, when you see God coming into your life and doing something, it builds the faith to go on to the next steps to take more territory that God wants to give you. crossing the Jordan River, the purpose of it was, because God told them when to go. God could have told them to cross the Jordan River at the time of the year Kathy and I went there. Well, the Jordan River wasn't much wider from this chair to about there. I mean, it was narrow. Where Jesus was baptized was very narrow. During flood season, the rainy season, I mean, it's huge, right? And it gets a whole lot deeper. Jesus took them to cross the Jordan River at the very worst time of the year to cross the river. Why? Because he's building their faith. Sometimes God will take you through challenges to build your faith. He wants you to face things that you cannot do that only he can do. You ever been there? Maybe financially, you're facing, I can't do it. And but when God provides that financial miracle, you know God is now as Jehovah Jireh, your provider. Before you knew in your mind he was the provider, but when you face a financial challenge that only a guy can do, then when God does it, you don't know Jehovah Jireh mentally, just mentally. You now know him by experience. Same way with healing. How can you know Jesus is your healer? Well, you got to get sick. You'll never know Jesus personally as your healer unless you face a health challenge, right? Before you know Jesus the healer mentally, because the Bible says he's the healer. But when you experience God's healing power, you now experientially know God as the healer. Does that make sense? So Joshua is saying, look, when you cross the river here, then when you face all the ites that was going there, all the enemies that were possessing the land, he goes, you're going to have the faith and the confidence that if God can get me across that river, God can help me take that city. Does that make sense? So that's why God takes us through these challenges. Next one. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you in the Jordan. And again, that's a confidence builder. Now therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribe of Israel, one man from every tribe, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord and the Lord of all the earth shall rest on the waters of Jordan. Now, he's prophesying here. He's telling something's going to happen before it happens. He goes, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, waters that come from down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. He's basically saying the water, I'm sure at this time, it was flowing very fast, right? The rapids. He's saying those rapids are going to stop and literally stand up as a heap. The water is going to quit running and completely stand up as a heap. Two things happened there that I think Joshua did as a leader. How do you lead people through a new challenge? Well, Joshua did two things here I think is great. Number one, he built momentum. The whole processional of the priests carrying the ark and all the people, and they had to be so far behind. You know, as soon as their feet hit the water and the ark are covered in the water, he's building momentum. How many know that let's talk about our church. When there's momentum, it's easier to overcome challenges. But when you don't have momentum, the smallest challenges can be just overwhelming. Does that make sense? In life, it's that way. When I went and saw Judy yesterday, I mean, you think about it, she has this serious surgery and then breaks her back. And there were some other complications. And she just kept saying to me, there's one thing after another. It's just one thing after another. She could hardly talk because of some issues. What happens is when you lose momentum, the smallest challenge can defeat you. But when you've got momentum, you feel like, man, I can beat any giant that comes my way. And Joshua was building momentum in the nation of Israel, preparing them for things. The second thing he did was he built excitement. I mean, built faith. He said this word, you shall know the living God is among you. He says, look, when the Ark of the Covenant hits that water, and those rapids stop instantly and form a wall straight up. You ever watch, I'm dating myself, the Ten Commandments from Charles Heston. That's the Red Sea. But remember that the Red Sea walled up like a wall, right? I mean, can you imagine seeing that? And a million people crossed that thing on dry ground. That's one of the miracle people underestimate. Usually that much water, it takes a little while for that ground to get dry, right? And if it's just mud, you get stuck in it. They're taking off animals. They're crossing children. I mean, they've got wagons. They got all that stuff there. And they crossed on dry ground. That's a miracle, that ground dried so fast, hard enough to cross for the people to cross. Joshua's building faith. He's building momentum, excitement, anticipation. Faith will keep you positive when everything around you is negative. So again, it's like momentum. When you can stay positive and you can have momentum and faith, it enables you to face challenges that come your way. But when we allow our thinking to get negative, or we start becoming cynical or full of doubt, it doesn't take much to overcome you. You ever been to like one of those? They don't do it much anymore, I think, animal rights. But you remember the old elephant rides at the circus? When my kids were small, we used to go to the Shriners Circus Thanksgiving. And I never got on it, but Kathy would take the kids that are on that little. You pay a bunch of money, and they want like a 10-foot circle. I'm like, that's the biggest ripoff ever. What always amazed me is that those elephants are never tied down. They were free. Do you know how they do that? When those elephants are young, they tie a rope around an elephant's leg and put it to a stake where they can't move it. And that elephant gets conditioned that he can't leave a certain space. To the point when that elephant gets an adult, they'll take the rope off of the stake, but it's so conditioned mentally, it never tries to leave the space because it's being conditioned that this is the only place it can go. Isn't that amazing? So here's one of the strongest animals in the world, and nothing's holding it except it's thinking. And I've seen that happen to people, especially if they come from abusive homes. They get so conditioned that even when they're out of that home and they're free, they're free physically, and they still got a free will to make choices, but mentally, they can't leave that area. And so, again, the nation of Israel had been walking in a circle for 40 years, and before that, they were slaves. Can you imagine the mental restrictions the nation of Israel had? And they're not just crossing the Jordan River now, which would take a miracle. They're now going to war. They've got to fight these ites that we read to take those cities. Israel, in that generation, had never had an army. They never had boot camp. They never had basic training. Whoever was commanding those armies had never commanded an army before. They were slaves. Their previous generations were slaves for 400 years. And then they wandered in the desert for 40 years. No military training. Nobody in that entire army had any training at all. If you look at it, Israel had no means of taking the promised land. No means of doing that. So God said, we've got to do something. We've got to build their faith. We've got to create momentum. We've got to change their mental picture. When those people, again, around 1 million people, crossed that Jordan River, they were transformed. They were different people. Why? Because the Holy Spirit had done something in their hearts and done something in their lives. Again, there's purposes to the challenges that God brings in our life. That doesn't mean they're easy, nor does it mean it's pleasurable. Most of the time, challenges are difficult, and we don't like them. In fact, it's kind of weird if we like them, right? I mean, that people, you know, get a martyr complex. So you can't go by your emotions. And when you go through difficulty, experiencing human emotions is normal. That doesn't mean you lack faith. I'm going to say that. Sometimes Satan lies to us. I mean, if you go to the doctor and you get a bad medical report, if you don't have some emotional response to that, you're not a human being. That doesn't mean you lack faith. It just means you have human emotions, right? Don't allow the Satan to put condemnation on you. It's like when someone loses someone they love and they experience grief. Is that a lack of faith? No. It's called being a human being. You love the person you lost. It has nothing to do with your faith. Most of the time, I look at people like that and say, it takes great faith just to keep going.